Wednesday in Holy Week. The chief priests and the ancients of the people have met today in one of the rooms adjoining the temple for the purpose of deliberating on the best means of putting Jesus to death. Several plans are discussed. Would it be prudent to lay hands upon him at this season of the Feast of the Pasch, when the city is filled with strangers who have received a favorable impression of Jesus from the solemn ovation given to him 3 days back? Then, too, are there not a great number of the inhabitants of Jerusalem who took part in that triumph, and whose enthusiastic admiration of Jesus might excite them to rise up in his defense? These considerations persuade them not to have recourse to any violent measure, at least for the present, as a sedition among the people might be the consequence, and its promoters, even were they to escape being ill-treated by the people, would be brought before the tribunal of the Roman governor, Pontius Pilate. They therefore come to the resolution of letting the feast pass quietly over, before apprehending Jesus. But these bloodthirsty men are making all these calculations as though they were the masters. They are, if they will, shrewd assassins who put off their murder to a more convenient day. But the divine decrees, which from all eternity have prepared a sacrifice for the world's salvation, have fixed this very year's Pasch as the day of the sacrifice, and tomorrow evening the holy city will re-echo with the trumpets which proclaim the opening of the feast. The figurative lamb is now to make way for the true one. The Pasch of this year will substitute the reality for the type, and Jesus' blood, shed by the hands of wicked priests, is soon to flow simultaneously with that of victims, which have been hitherto acceptable to God only because they prefigured the sacrifice of Calvary. The Jewish priesthood is about to be its own executioner, by immolating him, whose blood is to abrogate the ancient alliance and perpetuate the new one. But how are Jesus' enemies to get possession of their divine victim, so as to avoid a disturbance in the city? There is only one plan that could succeed, and they have not thought of it. It is treachery. Just at the close of their deliberations, they are told that one of Jesus' disciples seeks admission. They admit him, and he says to them, quote, "What will you give me, and I will deliver him unto you?" End quote. Footnote, St. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 26, verse 15. They are delighted at this proposition, and yet, how is it that they, doctors of the law, forget that this infamous bargain between themselves and Judas has all been foretold by David in Psalm 108? They know the scriptures from beginning to end. How comes it that they forget the words of the prophet, who even mentions the sum of 30 pieces of silver? Footnote, St. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 27, verse 9. Judas asks them what they will give him, and they give him 30 pieces of silver. All is arranged. Tomorrow, Jesus will be in Jerusalem, eating the Pasch with his disciples. In the evening, he will go, as usual, to the garden on Mount Olivet. But how shall they, who are sent to seize him, be able to distinguish him from his disciples? Judas will lead the way. He will show them which is Jesus by going up to him and kissing him. Such is the impious scheme devised on this day within the precincts of the Temple of Jerusalem, to testify her detestation at it, and to make atonement to the Son of God for the outrage thus offered him. The Holy Church, from the earliest ages, has consecrated the Wednesday of every week to penance. In our own times, the fast of Lent begins on a Wednesday, and when the Church ordained that we should commence each of the four seasons of the year with fasting, Wednesday was chosen to be one of the 3 days thus consecrated to bodily mortification. On this day in the Roman Church was held the sixth scrutiny for the admission of catechumens to baptism. Those about whom there had been previous doubts were now added to the number of the chosen ones, if they were found worthy. There were two lessons read in the Mass, as on the day of the Great Scrutiny, the Wednesday of the fourth week of Lent. As usual, the catechumens left the church after the Gospel. But as soon as the Holy Sacrifice was over, they were brought back by the doorkeeper, and one of the priests addressed them in these words, quote, "On Saturday next, the eve of Easter, at such an hour, you will assemble in the Lateran Basilica for the seventh scrutiny. You will then recite the symbol, which you must have learned. And lastly, you will receive, by God's help, the sacred laver of regeneration. Prepare yourselves zealously and humbly by persevering fasts and prayers, in order that, having been buried by this holy baptism together with Jesus Christ, you may rise again with him unto life everlasting. Amen." End quote. At Rome, the station for today is in the Basilica of St. Mary Major. Let us compassionate with our Holy Mother, whose heart is filled with poignant grief at the foresight of the sacrifice which is preparing.